Welcome back to My Radio at stanpelke.com. This is the sixth podcast in my series of readings from my original science fiction novel, Project Earth, Dawn of Defiance. Today's program brings Chapter 3 to its conclusion. If you'd like to listen to more of my original music before the release of the seventh podcast, please visit the My Music page on stanpelke.com. You can also follow links to some of my reviews of television shows and books, or click to follow me on Twitter. First Fist ritually spat on the nearest wolf corpse, which Second Fist had killed.
You, stay with the boys till we return. Tend them as best you can. You and you, guard the old one with reverence. Do not let the beasts return to eat his flesh. Everyone else, follow Knife Priest.
What of the boat, right? They dragged him off that way. First Fist squinted into the darkness in the direction in which three of the elders were pointing. He shook his head.
A great loss, but we cannot stumble into the darkness to be trapped or hunted down in ever smaller and smaller groups. The rest of us remain together and move forward.
Knife Priest broke out into song again, a vengeful but mournful song, and gestured the sign readers to move forward. Soon the hunting band was heading toward the gorge once more. Within minutes, the hunters and village boys reached the gorge. They had encountered no more guardian wolves, and none were visible here. First Fist's daughter was nowhere to be seen either, yet they could hear her voice calling to her father from out in the thick darkness above the gorge. Several of the boys fell to the ground in terror and called out to the wood spirit for mercy. First Fist shook with rage and bellowed nearly incongruous orders to the men and boys. Some planted their torches into the ground, others took up defensive posts on the perimeter of the hunting party, and the rest notched arrows on bows or readied spears and knives. Knife Priest ordered his own household guard to sweep further to the north to see if they could track the beast any further. They had not gone far from the main hunting party when something caught Knife Priest's eye. Perhaps 50 paces forward, there was a strange, flickering light that seemed to hover, suspended in the darkness over the gorge. He ordered his party to stop. "Take up defensive positions here," he commanded the younger apprentices and their comrades. Then he silently motioned for his senior apprentices and Kerwindor, "Come with me." No more songs passed Telkortoran's lips. His mouth was too dry, and though his heart raced both from the run and from the rising terror that he also felt, he nevertheless pressed on. A voice not his own seemed to form in his mind.
"Go."
Words had been spoken, orders had been given. "I trust you, Owl Matron," he whispered into the darkness all around him. Knife Priest sprang forward toward the strange light above the gorge, and his closest friends followed. Soon the torchlight of the main party was but a faint glow behind them, as Knife Priest and his three companions broke through a clutch of trees and shrubs that reached right to the cliff's edge. Knife Priest's eyes fixed on an inexplicable sight, and he called out in shock. A vast shape had appeared before them, where there had only ever been emptiness before. It heaved outward from the ground near them and flew out over the gorge and into the darkness. It was something like the village's footbridge across their river, but it was far more massive, like the interweaving of monstrously huge fallen trees and their waist-thick branches, and the whole thing glowed with the faintest of bluish lights. Telkor Torin ordered the others to wait as he approached the strange and massive object, slowly, cautiously. He reached out and touched the fallen trees. "Cold," he whispered. "Deathly cold and hard. Harder than any wood I have ever carved before." Indeed, the substance was more akin to stone, and yet it was not stone. And now Knife Priest saw that a pathway ran the full length of the strange object and continued on past him and into the woods behind. The path was formed of two narrow poles, like tree trunks of impossible lengths, running smoothly beside each other. They too were ice cold to the touch. The most devilish shriek suddenly broke through the night far out across the fallen trees. One of Knife Priest's apprentices panicked and fell to the ground. "Stay where you are," Knife Priest ordered, raising his arm at the same time to keep Kerwindor at a safe distance. Knife Priest's other apprentice clutched his weapon even more tightly and tried to draw his colleague back to his feet. Telkor Torin now saw that the flickering light he had observed from far away was hovering over the path on the cold trees, almost all the way over to the other side of the gorge. But then with another shriek, the wavering light began to race toward him. As the light drew nearer and nearer, Knife Priest began to see that it was the eye of something like a great snake, but more massive than he had dreamed possible, now racing at him and belching fire and smoke. At the top of his lungs and in his most masterful tone, Knife Priest bellowed a chant of entrapment. As his voice grew in power and authority, first one and then his other apprentice joined him in song, feebly at first, then with renewed confidence as the apprentice who had panicked moments before rose to his feet and lifted the tip of his spear toward the smoke-belching monster. Telkor Torin stepped right between the fallen tree-like things and raised both arms in defiance. His voice grew even more powerful as he demanded the demon to return First Fist's daughter and then go back to its underworld lair. But his songs had no effect. The smoke-belching beast continued to barrel toward him. As the beast drew dangerously close, Kerwindor grabbed Knife Priest's arm and tried to pull him back. Knife Priest was about to comply, but he stopped short as he saw himself standing in the middle of the strange new path, but further back toward the trees. Telkor Torin could see his other self just staring at the approaching beast of fire and smoke. "Run!" Telkor Torin yelled at his reflection. "Run! Now!" But his other self stood rooted to the spot, staring at the approaching monster. Knife Priest was of two minds. Save himself, or turn and help this strange other self. His body wavered, ready to jump one way or the other. The beast let loose the most horrific sound, but it was answered by the hoot of the owl matron. She soared across his soul, whispering truth and beauty and goodness all at once, and Knife Priest knew he had nothing to fear. Pulling himself free of Kerwindor's hands, Telkor Torin the Knife Priest, destroyer of rivals and slayer of the great King Deer, drew his best flint blade, stepped into the path of the rushing beast, and pushed his other self out of the way. He woke with a start, shallow, quick breathing, his heart racing so furiously that his chest hurt and his temples throbbed with a sharp pain. In the darkness, disoriented, he reached for something, anything familiar, and felt her warm arm. It was soft and reassuring, and at his touch, she stirred and sighed, sounds he knew and loved as her warm body moved closer to his. the air all around him was cold, but Talcortoran the Knife Priest was wet with sweat, as if he had really been out in the woods searching for First Fist's daughter, fighting guardian wolves, and facing down the monstrous snake demon with the glowing eye. He sat up. Sacred words danced through his head as he sought comfort in the old songs his grandfather had taught him. He whispered prayers to the owl matron, but he felt no stirring in his bare chest. This was the third time he had dreamt this nightmare. The third time he had seen himself save himself. The third time he had known that a second later, the snake demon had swept over him and crushed him beneath its fury. In some dream world guarded by the Bloodfang god, Talcortoran the Knife Priest was surely dead. Unable to settle his mind or fall back to sleep, Knife Priest rose and collected some wood from the small pile in the far corner and stoked up the fire. Bright Sparrow stirred and sat up, rubbing sleep from her eyes. She reached for his arm and pulled him back to their bed. Knife Priest lay down as close to her as possible and shivered from cold and fear. She ran her hand across his back. "Kiss me," she whispered in his ear. Talcortoran could think of nothing but the darkness that hovered in the recesses of his heart and mind. After several minutes of caressing him, enticing him with soft words, Awendor sighed deeply, put her hand on his arm, and fell back to sleep. Knife Priest lay quietly awake for the rest of the night, on vigil lest he miss the appearance of the owl matron, or the return of the beast.
Talcortoran and Locurno.
Donocotos.
Cheldor Feel.
Donocotos. Talcortoran and Locurno. Bate. Bate.
This was an original work of music and text by Stan Pelkey. Please note that any unauthorized broadcasting, public performance, copying, or re-recording of this program, its story, or its music is an infringement of copyright.